that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus. So
this is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Our series that we've been away from for a couple of weeks in launching out from 1 Corinthians 10 is called Beware the Sins of God's People. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 warns us that temptations are common, and the things that we're tempted with are common to other people, and specifically he illustrates that with the temptation of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Let's reread verses 5 through 10 of 1 Corinthians 10 as we head into sin number 5. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. But with many of them, the children of Israel, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not, number one, lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither, number two, be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us, number three, commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us, number four, tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither, number five, murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. We're asking ourselves, why is God displeased with these things? It says in verse 5 that God was not well pleased with many of them. Why is God not pleased with these five things that they did? Why is he upset with that? Verse 10, we're talking about the sin of murmuring or grumbling. Murmuring or grumbling, complaining, talking back. These are things that the children of Israel were involved in, wrongly so. And I think if we're transparent, we're involved in it too. Anybody murmur this last week? Wow, look at those honest people. We all murmur, don't we? Bible students disagree as to which incident in history Paul may have in mind. And I spent a good deal of time trying to ultimately figure out the answer. You know, all the experts from past history haven't agreed, but I'm going to be the one that cracks the mystery finally wide open. Well, didn't happen that way. So we're just going to look at all three stories. How's that? Three for the price of one. Don't worry, they're close together in context, and I think we can move quickly through them. Numbers chapter 14 is where we'll start out tonight. Numbers chapter 14. The fact is, the children of Israel grumbled all through the book of Numbers, and they were murmuring and complaining almost constantly. So Paul could have had a number of places in mind, but he did say in 1 Corinthians 10 that this was a time when some of them were destroyed. So we know that this has to be a murmuring that leads to some of them being punished by death. There were some murmurings where they were punished, but not by death. But there's at least three right within two chapters of each other where they complained and some of them died. They complained and some of them died. They complained some more and some more of them died. Pretty austere time in their history. Numbers chapter 14. I think each of these accounts illustrates for us a general type of murmuring and complaining. This first incident is the incident at Kadesh Barnea, when they've been to Sinai, they receive the Ten Commandments, the instructions for building the tabernacle, they've traveled on up, they're now on the east side of Jordan, and the spies have gone in, and they've come out, and they've given their report, 10 were bad, and 2 were good. They give the report to the people, and the people respond. Now, I will tell you, I think this is illustrative of my murmuring when I say my job is too hard. If we think about general categories of our murmuring, most of them will fit into one of three categories. Now, if you want to complain and say your murmuring doesn't fit in one of those categories, that's fine. You just go ahead and complain. But one category we often complain about is we say things like, my job is too hard. Not necessarily your vocation, but the task appointed unto us. My responsibility, my lot in life, the thing I have to do, it's too hard. And I think we find that illustrated here in Numbers chapter 14. I'll read some verses and highlight through some of the rest. So verse 33 of chapter 13, the spies finished their report by saying, and on top of all of that, there were giants in the land. Chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, quote, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Wow, that's quite the murmuring. They're saying, wouldn't it be better if we had just starved to death in the wilderness? Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of a lot of ways I'd rather go. But they are looking at the report of the 10 spies and saying, this is so bad, this is too hard, it's not fair, I don't like my job, and they're murmuring about it. To highlight, we see that in verses 11 through 12, God proposes destroying the multitude immediately. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? How about it? Think about all the miracles. He says, I'm going to smite them, disinherit them, and make of thee, Moses, a greater nation. Verses 13 through 19, Moses intercedes. Aren't we thankful for him? Moses intercedes in verses 13 through 19. 25 through 35 is God's sentence, God's punishment on them for murmuring. He says, starting after the parentheses, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Ah, that's where we just came from. We got to go back. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. He said, you think it would have been better for you to fall in the wilderness? Fine, that's exactly what's going to happen. Everybody 20 years old and older is going to fall in the wilderness, and you're going to die by the wayside, and your children will someday inherit their land. And you said, oh, what's going to happen to our wives and children? We're going to die by the sword. It's your children that you were worried about, that you thought I couldn't take care of. They're the ones that are going to inherit the land. And so in 25 through 35, God sentences the people to wander 40 years. 40 years. 1 year for every day that the spies had been in the promised land. And then in verse 37, we find further judgment. Even those men, the 10 spies, that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. They didn't have to wait 40 years. They got their execution immediately. Okay? So, why is God displeased with grumbling? I think we find some answers back in verses 2 through 4. Now remember, as we're comfortably sitting in our chairs tonight and critiquing the words of these children of Israel, let's remember this is the general category of complaining. My work is too hard. For you specifically, that may sound like my teachers give me too much homework. It may sound like I have too many problems. It may be, oh, it's too hot. I shouldn't have to work in weather like this. Maybe our complaint or our murmuring is, they have unreasonable expectations of me. I can't be expected to do all this. I don't have enough time. I have too many chores. I'm just kind of trying to give you some samples. Let your imagination go. Do you ever murmur that your job is too hard, your responsibilities aren't fair? Look back at verses 2 through 4. We see, first of all, that murmuring spreads. Verse 2 says, all the children of Israel murmured. All the children of Israel murmured. Well, where did this start? With 10 people. 10 guys murmured and said, this problem is too big, this job is too hard. And as a result of that, the whole nation was turned and began to murmur. God is displeased with our murmuring because it spreads. And when you complain that your homework is too hard, your classmates are going to complain that your homework is too hard. And when you complain that the boss has unreasonable expectations, your coworkers are going to complain that the boss has unreasonable expectations. And when you complain that God expects too much of his people, other people are going to think that God expects too much of his people. Number two, murmuring assumes that God's power is limited. They said, we can't do this. Notice there was no pausing and saying, wow, this is a hard job. But let's see, God did part the Red Sea. God broke Pharaoh with the 10 plagues. God provided food for us in the wilderness. God brought water out of a rock. Maybe God has the power to do this too. You see, when you murmur that your job is too hard, you're assuming something. You're assuming that God can't give you the strength to do it, right? That's a bad assumption. Because all things are possible with God. And if God calls you to do something, by His grace, you can do it. Don't say that this is impossible and unreasonable. Number three, murmuring assumes that our ideas are better than God's plans. God's plan, way back from the time of Abraham, was that they would come and inherit this land. And they said, well, that's obviously a bad plan because look at the size of those giants. I've got an idea. Let's get a new leader. Let's kick Moses out. And let's go back to Egypt. And it's funny, when we're in our murmuring mode, how short-sighted we can be. I mean, what do you think they were going to do when they got back to Egypt? Go up to the Pharaoh and say, probably had a new Pharaoh by now. One of them was lost in the Red Sea, I'm assuming. We'd like to apply. Here's our resume. We have experience making bricks. In fact, we had advanced training. We even learned how to make bricks without straw. We know how to hide our children from, you know, deranged leaders. We have experience in desert travel. If you need to send us out to... But we'd like to apply to, you know, build triangles or pyramids or something. What were they going to do when they got back to Egypt? Just waltz in there like nothing had ever happened? What kind of a plan was that? But they thought they knew better than God. And when we're murmuring, isn't that how we get? Boy, I tell you what, that teacher doesn't know what they're doing. I tell you what, I'd probably get a lot better education if I didn't have to do any homework. Boy, I tell you, this boss, they are so difficult. I wish they would give us more time off, not expect so much work of us, and pay us more so that the company would go bankrupt and we'd all be unemployed. Right? When we murmur, we assume that our ideas are better than God's plan. When you're tempted to complain, thinking that your job is too hard, stop and remember Kadesh Barnea. And unless you want to wander in the desert for 40 years, maybe you should say, maybe God is big enough. Maybe by His grace, I can bear this cross. Maybe He can give me the endurance to carry on when I feel like complaining. The next incident that some people believe is being referenced in 1 Corinthians 10 is just over in chapter 16. So this is close chronologically. And the next two incidents are both in chapter 16. I mean, these people just don't learn. In Numbers chapter 14, Kadesh Barnea incident, the 10 spies die just like that, and the rest of them are sentenced to a slow death over a period of 40 years. Chapter 15, God gives them some instructions on sacrifices and different offerings and things like that. There's a small story about someone who broke the Sabbath. And there's an instruction about having special blue ribbons on the hems of their garment. Now, chapter 16, we pick up a narrative continuing in the story of the children of Israel. And in your Bible, it might have a heading that says something like Korah's Rebellion. Korah's Rebellion here in Numbers chapter 16 is the next incident that Paul may have had in mind when he said God was displeased with them for murmuring. This murmuring, I would categorize generally as, I'm not getting what I deserve. Have you complained that way recently? It's not fair. I'm not getting what I deserve. I've got my rights and they're being violated. Mom and Dad always pick her. They always get to choose their cereal first. They got to choose where we went last time. Maybe it's nobody listens to me. I didn't even ask for my opinion. Maybe when you murmur in this category of I'm not getting what I deserve, maybe you're tempted to say, well, my things aren't as nice as her things. My car is not as nice as his car. Our house isn't as big as their house. Maybe your murmuring that says I'm not getting what I deserve sounds like this. Well, it was my idea in the first place. Or maybe your murmuring sounds like, I shouldn't have to do what she says. I've been in this company longer. I don't know. But like the children of Israel, and Korah and his gang, sometimes we murmur along the lines of, I'm not getting what I deserve. Are your imaginations rolling? Are you just remembering what your family member murmurs, or have you remembered what you murmur? Can you hear your own voice? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. As we look at the story here, in chapter 16, verse 3, we see that this group has gathered against Moses. Who's in the group? Well, it's Korah. He's the most prominent one. Dathan and Abiram, they're the next two prominent ones. But there's another fellow we don't hear about very often. His name is On. So he has lots of room to murmur because he doesn't even get mentioned very much. But these are all listed in the first couple verses. And in verse 3, it says, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. This rebellion, this murmuring, is a gathering against. This is like when you get a group of people to sign a petition. Because they ended up getting like 250 famous people, some nobles, some princes. So it's Korah, it's Dathan and Abiram, it's On, and about 250 other popular people. And they all kind of came together, you know, to make a presentation. Hey, Moses, we want to talk to you. We've got something to say. And there's a whole group of us, so you better listen. Right? Can you picture the whole scene? You ever feel like that? You ever get caught up in a situation like that, complaining that you're not getting what you deserve? They gathered against Moses. They didn't just gather. They gathered against somebody, their leader. What did they say as they murmured? They said unto them, this is the rebels saying to Moses and Aaron, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? In other words, Moses and Aaron, who do you think you are telling us what to do? Right? Lifting yourselves up again above the congregation. Of course, if I'm Moses, I'm scratching my head thinking, wait a second, did I apply for this job? Or was I drafted? I don't think I lifted myself up. I was dragged kicking and screaming into this position. Nevertheless, the people made that accusation. They murmured against him. We'll kind of skim through the story and then come back to learn from these verses specifically. Verses 5 through 17, Moses is now reasoning with the rebels and proposing eventually a test before the Lord. He's saying, okay, fine, let's get some censers and you can put incense in them and let the Lord prove who he wants us to follow. He says to them in verse 9, look, there's plenty of Levites who are able to help serve the Lord, and they should be thankful that they've been separated to the Lord. Just because they're not of the household of Aaron and not able to be actual priests, at least they're Levites. That's pretty special. You should be thankful for that. But see, these murmurers weren't thankful that they were Levites getting to be separated unto the Lord. They wanted to be priest material. Okay, so they were not content with what they had. And Moses is reasoning with them. Then he tries to get attention of Dathan and Abiram, and they sass off to him again. Look at verse 12. After the last comma there, they said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. He says, hey, come on, let's talk. Let's work through this. I want to teach you something. They say, we're not even going to talk to you. You promised us a land flowing with milk and honey, and you haven't delivered. Verse 21, what's God's response to all this? Verse 21, God speaks and says to Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Sound familiar? God proposes destroying the entire congregation because they've come to watch. Moses has proposed this test period. He says, okay, tomorrow, Korah and company, you come out. You guys get your censers if you want them. And we'll get together. And so Korah apparently rounds the whole congregation. Hey, everybody watch. We're going to have this big showdown. And God is ready to destroy them all. Moses and Aaron, verse 22, intercede. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, Korah and representatively the rest of the group, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? So they're interceding, and the Lord says, okay, fine, tell the people that they better get back. They better leave Korah alone, or else. And so Moses passes on the warning, and they do. The children of Israel had their weaknesses, but at least they were willing to take this warning. And so they back up, and verse 31, what happens? And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and all the, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and their goods. And it goes on to say that the 250 who were going to do incense, and they weren't supposed to be doing incense, fire from heaven got them. So you got 250 plus, maybe 300, that were killed by God in a very dramatic fashion. God takes murmuring pretty seriously. What are some things we can learn? Why does God dislike murmuring so much? Especially when I'm saying, I'm not getting what I deserve. I ought to be the leader like Moses and Aaron. We're just as smart as they are. We're just as much God's people as they are. I'm not content with what I have. Back in verse 3, when Korah first comes with the complaint, we can see that murmuring undermines God's appointed means. They say, hey, you're doing too much, Moses. You're just a little bit too important. You're not democratic enough. Okay? And they were undermining the means that God had established. It was God's choice that Moses had that role. And when we murmur because we say, I'm not getting what I deserve, we're complaining against something that God has set in place. Number two, murmuring thinks too highly of itself. They said, we are holy, we are in God's congregation, and we're just as good as you are. And the fact is, they weren't chosen by God to do that. How many times have I looked at someone that was over me and thought, boy, I could do it better than they could. How come they get to call the shots? But then you have that opportunity, and it's not as easy as you thought it was, right? We need to be careful that when we murmur that we're not getting what we deserve, we're not thinking too highly of ourselves. Well, I could do that. I don't know who my parents think they are. I know just as much as they do. Well, you know, they may think they're smart, but I could do a better job than they could. Let's not think too highly of ourselves. And then, number three, come back to verses 12 through 14, where Dathan and Abiram were mouthing off from a distance. They said in verse 13 to Moses, hey, is it a small thing that you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us? On top of that, you've made yourself like some kind of a prince over us. And you've not given us the land of milk and honey that you promised to us. Now, wait a second. Does memory serve? Did we just read Numbers chapter 14? Did Moses take them to a land flowing with milk and honey? He did. And why weren't they in that land right now? Because they rejected it. Whose fault was it? It was their fault. And another big problem with murmuring is that murmuring blames its own failures on God and his servants. And when I get in a grumbly, mumbly kind of attitude, man, I tell you what, this is no good anyways. And I can't believe God expects this of me. And it may be my own fault. It's probably my own choices that got me where I am. And here I am criticizing God. God is displeased with murmuring because I often begin to pout and accuse God or accuse his instruments of messing things up. And I'm the one who actually messed them up. Dathan and Abiram blamed God and Moses when they were some of the only innocent ones in the whole country of 2 million plus people. How sad. That's what I often do as well. Well, we saw that God sent this earth-opening plague to destroy some of them and sent fire from heaven to destroy others. You would think that they would learn a lesson. The 10 spies died by a plague. Everyone 20 years old and over sentenced to a long, slow death in the wilderness. Korah and company swallowed by the earth. 250 others burned with fire from heaven. Probably we should stop murmuring. But do they learn? They learn just about as well as we do. Let's just put it that way. Look at verse 41. This is astonishing. Verse 41, this is after the fire and the earth opening event. Verse 41, but on the morrow, when was it? The next day. All the congregation. How many of the people? All the congregation. What did they do? Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord? Really? What, like Moses has the power to open up the earth? I mean, even if he did, I think I probably would not murmur against him. And Aaron, what, he's like the fire calling down guy? Again, why would you murmur against somebody that you think can do that? They murmured against them saying, you have killed... Who did they say they killed? Who was it? The people of the Lord. You know, because Korah was such a nice guy. And Dathan and Abiram, oh, wow. I mean, quality guys there. This is what I like to call the Korah aftershock. You had the earthquake. These are the aftershocks. And you know, sometimes aftershocks can be deadly or more deadly than the earthquake itself. Well, we're just one verse into this, but I think this categorically is a murmuring that says, I think my leaders are doing a bad job. You ever murmured that way? You might not have used those words, but that's what you meant. That's what was in your heart. I think my leaders aren't doing this right. They're not doing this well. Maybe in your heart it sounds like, my husband is making a big mistake. It could be that the whispering in your ear says, my parents just don't understand. My supervisor is so ignorant. Maybe your murmuring sounds like, this proves they don't know what they're talking about. We murmur and think that our leaders are doing a bad job, and if we just whine about it, that will fix everything. Well, it didn't work out that way. They're murmuring, verse 2, everybody's gathered together against, notice that word again, against. That's exactly what Korah and crew were doing. They were against Moses and Aaron. Verse 43, Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle. Verse 44, the Lord speaks. Verse 45, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. Surprise! What happens this time when they murmur? God proposes destroying them all. Three times in a row. Three out of three. The people murmur. God says, I'm going to kill them all. Do you get some idea of how well God thinks of murmuring? And three times out of three, what does Moses do? Moses intercedes for them. Verse 45, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. I believe that's Moses and Aaron. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire thereon from the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. Isn't that interesting? He ran. Aaron is running to save the lives of the people who have been murmuring against him all these occasions. Aaron gets a bad rap for the golden calf, and he rightly deserves that. But it seems that Aaron finally began to do some things right. He ran into the midst of the congregation And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he, can you picture it, stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. It was as if Moses, with his atonement and his worship before the Lord, was stopping the Lord and the plague from going any further. Like holding back the tide of death. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Give or take, maybe 300 people died at Korah's rebellion. But in Korah's aftershock, we see 14,700 people die. God hates murmuring. He takes it very seriously. Why is he so displeased with it? Well, look again at what they said and did in verse 41. On the morrow, they began murmuring. Do you know that murmuring is hard to quit? It's a habit. Now think about it. When you come home from work to your family, is it your natural instinct to take the first 10 minutes telling them all the good things that happened at your day at work? Or is it your likely inclination to tell them the things that went wrong? I'm just asking. I mean, I know I always dwell on the positive. But I'm concerned for some of you. I'm kidding, of course. When you think about different aspects of your life and the leaders that God has given to you, do we naturally dwell on the positive, or do we out of habit find things to murmur and complain about? Tell you what, town of dire regulation, these people, what are they thinking? And when they do something that we want or something that we like, we quickly move on to something else that we don't like. We got to have something to complain about. I mean, really, if everything you complained about got completely reversed, I promise you would find something else to complain about. Because murmuring is a hard habit to break. Secondly, murmuring takes up any cause as an excuse to attack authority. You notice that? You could see this in the workplace. You could find two people that were not friends at all. In fact, you might have called them enemies. But if the boss does something that seems unjust to this guy, everyone else will swarm around them just so they have something else to, you know, criticize the boss for. We'll take up any cause as long as it gives us an excuse to murmur against our leaders. We do that for the government. We do that in our workplace. We can do it in our families. Murmuring is very, very serious because it totally empties us of our reason, our consistency, and it just uses our circumstances as an excuse to attack. The third thing here we see when they said, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord," is that murmuring, be careful now, murmuring gives credit to people for God's supernatural work. Now, wait a second. You've not experienced the earth opening up and fire from heaven, have you? But when we complain about our leaders, we forget something. Who put our leaders there? God did. Remember, he's the master orchestrator. He is the composer and the conductor of the symphony. And we wouldn't have the president, the vice president, the governor, the lieutenant governor, or the town council that we have. We wouldn't have them if it wasn't God's plan. And you can say that regardless of who's in office. And so when I say, boy, they messed up our country, they messed up our town. Really? Who put them in office? Well, the uneducated electorate, that's who put them in office. Okay. Does God have anything to do with the world affairs? Sure he does. Oh, we love to give him credit, you know, for the children of Israel being allowed to go back after captivity. That was, you know, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. But somehow, because this is, electing government, we don't think that God is in control of all that. Look, whether it's your workplace, your family, or our government, don't give credit to man for what is God's supernatural work. He has a plan. And when you murmur and complain, my leaders are doing a bad job, just remember who gave you those leaders. God did. And they may be doing wrong. They may be making a mistake, but God wants to use that. And if you will stop murmuring and complaining and look to the one that is above your authority, say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to learn? How do you want me to bring light to this darkness? You can actually accomplish something for eternity and not just feel sorry for yourself. Let's ask God to help us not to murmur when we think our leaders are doing a bad job, when we think we're not getting what we deserve, and when we think that our job is too hard. And if we can pull back from that, I think we can have joy, and I think we can be used in a way that before we perhaps just imagined. Has God been good to us? Was God good to the children of Israel? And yet we still complain. Let's take an earnest step in the direction of gratitude instead of murmuring.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.